this second age of online retail, it's even more vital than ever before to stand out from the crowd. In physical retail, there are thousands of tried and tested techniques that have been implemented by the best retailers for centuries, such as sidewalk interrupters, decompression zones, window displays, etc. But what works in online retail? And how do you create the best shopper experience in the online retail world? In this episode, international retail and sales marketing expert Kevin Moore is going to take us on a tour of a variety of retail websites to uncover some of the things he believes help improve the online shopper experience. Welcome to this episode of The Road to Online Retail. I'm Nigel Miller, and Mr. Moore, welcome back.
Thank you, Nigel.
So, Kevin, we're getting deep and dirty this week, is that right?
No, we're not getting deep and dirty. We're going shopping, but we're going shopping online, so nothing too deep and dirty. And they're all good websites, Nigel. They're all good, healthy, wholesome websites. Even though, I don't know if you noticed, but the statistics for, shall we say, toys, adult toys, how's that, around the world, because we've all been locked down, has grown by about 300%. There's a massive increase around the world of people saying, well, we're at home now, so we should play more than they are.
Okay, now, before we dive in, I just want to let everyone know that we're also recording this session as a video. So if you'd like to take a look at some of the sites Kevin's going through today, go to our website, theroadtoretail.com, to find the link to the video. And Kevin, for anyone that hasn't listened to our previous podcast, could you just quickly explain what you mean by the second age of online retail, and also what you believe the top five criteria are for success as an online retailer?
Yeah, the second age of online retail is the fact that everything that we could ever need, a product or service, is going to be available online. Products we've had for ages, now services are coming up from companies, services from government, everything will be available in some shape or form online. And because we've got COVID-19, we've actually seen acceleration. We were going to get to 45% of toy sales online by 2023, but we're going to get there by 2021. We've got some amazing stats coming out of the UK as a major market where 22% of all retail sales are online. Now, that's not 22% of a category. 22 pennies of every pound spent in the United Kingdom at the moment is online. That's huge. We've got reports coming out of the US that talk about the vast shuttering of thousands and thousands of stores across the US that just aren't going to open again. And people aren't stopping shopping, they're just going online. And we've touched on this and said this is the systemic change. This is, if you like, the accelerated process of change that's been going on for some time. A large number of physical retailers have struggled to get their head around online. Now we've been forced to shutter shops around the world. Anybody who's truly online is booming. Now, I'll say, as I said on a number of these podcasts, it breaks my heart to see what's happening in retail. A lot of friends, thousands of friends, people I've met in retail who are not going to get their jobs back. But there is a chance for them to take their skills and go into online. And that's what this is about. These podcasts and these courses built on the work you and I have done for 5 years, training retail store staff online, video courses all around the world, to make them better retailers. This course is about harnessing all of that and making sure that people can have a job, feed their families in the new online age. Top five things online shoppers look for are widest range possible in stock, convenience, great service. Number four is payment facilities, including part payments. And we're going to look at some of those today, and pricing and promotions. And we're going to look at some of those today. So what I want to do is take us for a walk around my screen. And rather than go around the world, because I keep making the point that if you do it right in your own town, then you're probably going to do it right in your own state and your own country. And the rest of it will just fall. It will just naturally happen. So I'm going to take us on a journey. You're going to have to help me because we have listeners listening in cars and at homes and on trains. And if I'm talking about something I can see and I'm not painting a picture, you've got to help me now. Stop me and say, Kev, they can't see the screen. The listeners can't see the screen. Kev, explain that. Can you do that for me?
I can do that.
Good as gold.
However, before we do that, you've gone through the top five. Is that all people need to focus on in order to ensure they provide a great online shopper experience?
No, beyond that, what we're looking for is something that comes from those things and things that are actually done within your home or when you receive the products that take you to a whole new level. So an outstanding shopper experience, we've talked about phygital. This is where it becomes phygital. And then an excellent social media and community. And we're going to do that in the next podcast, look really into detail about excellent social media, community building and maintenance. So we've got the rational ones we're looking for, the first five. They generate outstanding shopper experience. phygital, so physical and digital mixing, and also excellent social media and connectivity.
Okay. So for people who aren't driving and who are listening in front of a screen, what sites are we going to be visiting today?
We're going to start at the top with a big monster. We're going to start with Amazon. We're going to move our way through eBay. And I say Amazon is the monster because globally it's the monster. It isn't the biggest online business in every country in the world, not by a long way. Alibaba is mind-blowingly big in China alone. eBay has done a phenomenal job in certain markets, but they're the marketplaces, if you will, that we're going to focus on and start with because they're the biggest. And they're the best in many ways, but not in all ways. And that's something I want people to try and understand. A lot of people say, I'm not going to this online lark. It's been done. It's too hard. The big players have got it nailed. They haven't. And I'm going to take you through things that the best of people can do. So I'm going to go through those two. Then I'm going to take you through a couple of national, quite big retailers in other sectors. They tend to be what we call category killers back in the day. So a category killer was a store that just did one thing really, really well. So we had video stores back in the day. We had massive telephone and accessory stores back in the day. Back in the day.
See, it's one of your favorite expressions.
I know, but it's only 6 or 7 years ago. That's what's so sad. You know, we think about it as this change as being years down the line. I remember walking the US less than 5-6 years ago and watching the video stores, Blockbuster, going under. I mean, boy, this has happened fast. And we're going to go through the online category killers. So guys who just do one or two things well. Obviously, we're going to fashion because it's a huge part of it. We're going to go into giftware and homeware. We're going to go into toys because it would be remiss of me not to go into great detail on what Toys R Us and Hobby Warehouse does.
Sorry, just for anyone who hasn't listened to the previous podcast, just to let you know that Kevin is quite heavily involved with Toys R Us in Australia and New Zealand.
I am indeed, yes. Yes, indeed, yes. So yes, I was involved in Phoenixing in a good way, that brand from a physical retailer into a pure online retailer. So it had a closed audit stores 2 years ago. It's now trading phenomenally well and was a pure online offering. And the key thing about, as Nigel's saying, is bringing all the traditional physical retail attributes, experience and emotions and entertainment from a physical world into the online world, which is what we've done. So we're going to go into that in quite some detail. We're going to go into a home delivery food service just because people talk about grocery, other grocery sectors going online. But there's an interim part of this, which has been going on around the world where prepared meals are arriving at homes. And I just want to touch on why they're doing so well and what they're doing in the physical digital blend. And then we're going to go real local. We're going to go to a tiny little company that I've had huge respect for, I've touched on before, and we're going to look at what they're doing really, really well. Because that may be the case study, Nigel, that a lot of listeners go, ah, finally, I could do that. I don't need all the capital, all these bigger players above, but Kevin's just talked about something that I think I could do because I understand a specific industry quite well and I just want to feed my family. I just want to,
yeah, you know. So basically what you're saying is we can look at the Amazons and the big boys to see what has been done and how online has changed, but actually the entry level is nearer the last one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's get going. Let's start with Amazon.
I've just jumped onto Amazon's landing page, their homepage in Australia, so amazon.com.au. This is not the place we usually come to Amazon. Generally speaking, we do not go into the marketplaces at the homepage. We go into marketplaces because we've clicked on a link because the algorithm already knows what we're looking for, or we've been explicit on what we're looking for. And when we hit that link, we go straight to that product within the site. So we don't usually arrive on the homepage of the marketplaces. We arrive right in the marketplaces. Why is that important? The marketplaces are vast, massively confusing, hugely difficult to navigate mega stores. So take the biggest Walmart, the biggest Bass Pro, the biggest whatever store you've ever been to in your life and multiply it by 10,000. The number of SKUs is so huge. And often resellers on the marketplaces and sellers on the marketplace list their products and think, that's it, they're going to find me. It's tough to find your product in amongst 999,999 other products. When there's a million products to shop, when there's an endless aisle, it's difficult. So the reason I want to do is take us to the landing page. So the thing about the landing page here is a lot of links, a lot of things that are departments, they're taking you into categories. We're highlighting a lot of Amazon's own products with Prime Video. On the landing page, we've got our first discount, our first talk about price and promotion. There's only one on the page, 25% off on select audio items. So we're coming down. We've got the major categories, electronics and books.
Toilet roll.
editorial, so bestsellers. So the marketplaces do a very good job of helping us continue with the theme of what's going well, what's selling a lot of, because FOMO is a big part of it. I don't want to miss out. These are things that are selling well. So I'd like to look at them. So bestsellers in health, household and personal care, massive category, right up against the drugstores and the grocery stores around the world. Bestsellers in electronics, again, a couple of Amazon items in there, not surprisingly. Into video games.
Just a quick question here. So because algorithms drive all these sites, are we seeing things on your page because of what you've searched previously, or is this literally a homepage? I mean, there's a lot of electronic stuff that I know you've been in the market for headsets recently. I'm seeing headsets instantly. Are we seeing a lot of the algorithm working here or not?
That's why it's so important to land on the landing page. This is what the retailer believes are the most important things, and it's what its algorithms are throwing up as being the most important things. And it's what its buyers and curators, the people who manage these categories, are looking to sell, looking to highlight to us. So the fact that the bestseller electronics has Prime Video, it does have YouTube and others, but then Spotify, but Amazon Music, Prime Video's there. The next item is a Kindle. The fourth item is a Kindle. Okay, so there's a mixture of what's selling. This is classic merchandising. This, we've been doing this for 500 years. So we're putting things up there that everybody wants, but we're also blending into them things that we want people to look at. Then went to Cozy Basics, Select Activewear. We're coming down to look at bestsellers in sports and fitness. We talk about...
It's strange to see things like cables there, though.
Oh, no, massive, huge. Remember, we're at home.
Yeah.
So at the moment, we're at home. So there are so many people who are rigging up. My office at home now has two 32-inch curved Philips monitor screens. It's got its own phenomenal router straight into broadband, not through a Wi-Fi, because I need to be ultra quick. I've got two keyboards... I've got a Rode microphone in the workplace. I mean, I'm on Zoom calls all day to different parts of the world. So you'll see those things. Importantly, I want to touch on fulfillment by Amazon. So this is Amazon helping. This is important for the small businesses. Fulfillment by Amazon allows you to be able to ship product to Amazon. They'll take the pallets for you. They'll take the pallet and they'll store it for you. They will put your product up on their site. People find it. They'll buy it. The order will go to their own warehouse. It'll be picked from that pallet and it'll be sent in cardboard boxes off to the shopper at home. You don't have to do anything. You've got to pay for the space, but it really is a very, very powerful, a big step change for Amazon when they did it. So fulfillment by Amazon, you'll hear FBA talk about fulfillment by Amazon, is a really important part for people who want to play, who want to retail on the marketplaces as small businesses. Very important. And to connect with them, they will help you get there.
I know I see quite a lot of adverts for people who want to help you become an Amazon seller. If you've got an idea, they'd sort of train you how to negotiate and find manufacturers who can build your idea, and then you chuck it into Amazon and everyone becomes really rich. No?
So I might just touch on that now on the marketplaces. So you put your product up there, there's a million others, people have to find it. Sadly, what people do, and I worked with a company and I worked very hard for several years to try and get a company to embrace this, and they did it half-heartedly. They put up six SKUs. They probably sell about 500. They put up six SKUs. They have no direct-to-shopper offering at all. Put up six SKUs, fulfillment by Amazon, and they sold two products a week. Once you're in there, you have to work hard to create the connection, to get people to go and find that item, to do the Facebook marketing, Instagram, YouTube, build your community around your product to allow them to easily find it. In that way, Amazon is just your fulfillment structure. They're not your marketing structure. You still have to market. That's what our course is about. It's about the shopper experience. It's not about the warehousing logistics. It's about how you have the cut through to be able to get people to buy your products. All the infrastructure exists, and I'm going to take you onto the next site, and I'm going to, again, highlight, and it's not set up, highlight, a way of doing that. I don't want to take you now, though, because it's important, and I've talked about it. I'm going to take you down to a product here. It's a Lego product. It's Harry Potter. It's Hogwarts Great Hall. The reason this screen is important, I've talked several times about the importance of key things, that the wording around the product, descriptions of the product is crucial, that you can see all the details. I drag my cursor over here. You can see the detail come up, and that's the way that Amazon are doing it, and a lot of people do, to give the detail of it, of the product. But then over on the left-hand side, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I've actually got six product shots, detailed product shots of the product. And then, hooray, because this item's $149, we have a video as well. Now, it's only a 42-second video, but we have a video.
Okay. And that, you think, is partly to do with price point?
Absolutely, yeah. Once you get over about $50, $60, videos are an important part of it, that the product can be being seen. Now, the only thing we haven't got on this one is what we call lifestyle shots. So what we haven't got is somebody engaging with the product. So we've got the product all the way up here, but we haven't got children playing with the products, adults and children playing with the products, but that's the only thing that's missing. If you look at your own products, you have to say, on my own site, if I've got my own site, do I have five product shots? One which should be lifestyle, I'd suggest. And if it costs over $50, to have some form of video of the product. But in the best of cases, that video that you have shot is also sitting on YouTube and is a link straight through to your site. So you're not duplicating work. Don't, you know, duplicate work. So I just wanted to make that point. I don't want to labor it, but it's an important part of it. So we've had a sort of play.
Sorry, on that one, just a very quick thing though. So the video there and the images there would have all been provided by Lego.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? Yep. Yeah. And if you, it's your own.
Many manufacturers, is that the case that they have products you can actually access?
So the best of the manufacturers who've understood retail for the longest time have their own dedicated product development teams that develop all the imagery, all the descriptors for product online. And they also have frustration-free packaging. So that packaging isn't designed to stop people stealing parts in retail stores, which means you have to use a chainsaw to get into them, which we've all experienced. But they're easy and they're designed for you at home. So there's a whole load of expertise that goes on designing the product for online retailers. Now, for your own product, if it's your own product, or you're securing that product and selling other people's products, you can probably find the imagery. If it's your own product, you have to do it on your own. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's crucial that you do it because you start to spend your energies in the places where you're going to get the most awareness engagement from shoppers, because it's highlighting your product. It's the marketing part of it. You're not tied up with the logistics part of the business.
Okay, makes sense.
So if we leave Amazon, in theory, go down to baby brother eBay, but actually in Australia, we don't. We go up to eBay because eBay is a much, much bigger retailer in this marketplace. It did some clever things by splitting its brands with eBay and a brand called Gumtree. It is now a significant brand. So we land on that landing page, 20% off on Dell. Now, as we come down here, you'll see an awful lot more in terms of price and promotion. So eBay does a lot of promotion. So 20% off on Dell, 20% on cameras. Now, I've been on these sites before. I was doing some work with somebody around, if you look up here, Asset Abloy's product. I was doing some work with some physical and online hardware companies. I was actually searching SKUs and looking at how well they were represented and how well they'd done the five images and a video. For a $264 pack, you need them there. These are just other things that are on the site. Quilton's been, so toilet rolls have been served up. Alcohol's been served up. But as we go down this, what we're seeing is on the top part of it.
So sorry, you are saying here that there is a bias to what we're seeing because of where you've been before.
Exactly. Yeah. I was doing some work with a hardware company, so that's what we see.
I'm seeing the guitars and all the other bits that would be your hobbies too. There's no Harleys on this page, though.
No Harleys, but there are two bass guitars, so we're all right.
Okay.
So, and alcohol for some reason. I don't know why. But then I want to come down here because this is important. I'm going to hold on this page. Two distinct things. I've talked about the importance of payment terms. It's the fourth most important thing. This is Afterpay. Afterpay, split it, doesn't matter what. This is a massive part of your business. If you want to be online, you have to accept that this is really important. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you between 2 and 6% of your revenue to have Afterpay installed. They will provide leads for you. It will increase your volume significantly. It will. In some cases, retailers, 20% of their online volumes are coming through Afterpay. 20%.
Sorry, just quickly, is Afterpay an Australian only?
No, Afterpay is a global. It's the Kardashians have been using it for some time in the US, and it's a global payment, and they all overlap. Afterpay, Splitit, Trig, Hum. There are many, many different ones, but it's really important it's there. Now, here's the thing. This is why I talk about the second age of online retail. So I said that we can buy anything. So here we're looking at some products. We can buy some whiskeys and some beers. We can buy some Bose headphones. Done a brilliant job. Just a call out on Bose. Done a brilliant job of understanding what was coming in retail, shutting their own stores, going online, selling via the marketplaces. They appear to be completely agnostic when it comes to the channel to get to you, the shopper. They don't mind where you buy it, and they've stopped being coy and saying, oh, we can't sell ourselves on our Bose sites to you. We can only sell through our resellers, to now saying our resellers are in decline. We're doing it ourselves. So here we go. We've got, you know, great items here. We've got mixers, food mix, alcohol bros. And here we are up here. This is Shopify. So we're selling a service online. So you can buy your own website online.
So is this connected to eBay?
Nope. So Shopify is the largest seller of easy-to-use websites. So you can set up a Shopify site very quickly. It's a Canadian company. The backstory is he set up his own website many years ago to sell skiing equipment and snowboards. His mate said, you're doing a great job with that. Can you build me a site? So he built them another site based on his site. And somebody else said, can you build me a site? So he replicated the site. Then 10 other people set up the site. So he just copied the code. And then he was making more money from selling websites than selling on websites.
So interesting then, is that a banner ad we're looking at?
Yeah, so let's click on it.
Okay.
So we're now taken from Amazon into Shopify. Sell online with Shopify, trusted by over 1 million businesses worldwide. Start your free trial. Now, we are not paid, and we've said this a number of times, we are not paid by Shopify. I think the product is great. It's like online accounting software. Xero is a famous one. Xero is really good. It's not perfect by a long way, but it's really good and easy to use. Shopify is not perfect by a long way, but you'll be up and selling good enough for people to do what they need to do. Pricing as low as US$29 a month. Themes are responsive and customizable. I mean, it just does the thing that it's supposed to do. But the point about that is there you are, and they're the second age of retail. We're buying a service. We're buying a website on a website.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of messes with your head. I don't want any more on eBay. I want to take us now to the iconic. So as we look on this, we're seeing a lot of imagery, listeners.
Okay, so the first thing that's come up here is the homepage. Now I'm seeing, which would put me off instantly, but I'm assuming it's because you've had this open for a while, I'm seeing one of those pop-ups that says $20 off your next order, sign up, don't sign up, whatever.
Yeah.
That would have come up after a period of time once you'd first come to the page, is that right?
No, so here's the thing.
No.
So some of the guys have advised, in the early days of some of the online sites, you stopped here. So I'm hot to trot, two train stops from home. I want to buy this on my phone. I've found it. Your social media's done great. I've got to you. I want to buy it. I'm at my next to last stop now. And this thing comes up and says, give me all your details. And you say, I don't want to. I just want to buy now. We're not going to let you buy till you give your details. And I work with guys to say, take that off. Either take it off completely or give them the option to say no thanks and just get on with shopping. I want to shop now. Because this became a massive barrier, and a lot of people were having 100 people visiting the site and one buying. That's the wrong number. 100 people visiting the site, 4 to 5 buy, 3 to 4 buy.
I would be grateful to see that if I decided I was going to buy something and it's going to give me $20 off my next order. Don't mind seeing it when I'm further down the thing, but
exactly.
I don't want to see it now.
So this one going through these things, because these are big players. We've been into one of the biggest in the world, another one of the biggest in the world, and now into a very big player and successful player in the Australian market. But again, for listeners, what we're seeing is a lot of stationary imagery. I'll just keep it moving
along.
Indeed,
and that's what I would say. I'm also seeing the Afterpay banner there as well. But you've come to this page, it's got, well, it would be three images sitting above the line. Donate your clothes, giving made easy, you know, a few little things. It's simple. It's nice and simple and it's nice and clean. But it's static.
Yeah. And we come down. So I'm going to get rid of my details. I'm not going to give you my details now. I'm going to keep on shopping. Shop brands. So they say that companies are judged by the company they keep. Great brands here. This is a brand house. So they're an agglomerator. They bring together, they curate brands from all around the world and they sell them online. They're a giant department store. So the brands are important. But, you know, I like the iconic. I think the service is great. The packaging when it arrives in your home, and there's some examples of that on the course. And that's important. The digital, it's good. The way they do their returns, because the biggest issues you have with clothing is that you're unsure about whether it's going to fit. I want ease of return. Their ease of return policy is really good. The process is really good. How they do it in their own warehouses, I'm not going to go into. It doesn't matter. But the process for you and the shopper is really good. So I call out the iconic as being good because it's digital. It's outstanding shopper experiences because it has a really good returns process that people use and they enjoy. So,
but from my point of view, just watching this page come up, you know, I don't shop at the iconic. In fact, I don't shop for many clothes at all, but because I'm that age, I'd have to do a lot of digging around to find stuff in here.
Yes, so remember.
And they've only got their little denim theme at the top, and that is it. So you're coming here because you've clicked from somewhere else?
No. So that's what I'm saying. I'm showing you the landing sites, the home pages, because this is not where people usually come to. Usually the social media is so good. I've actually landed because I'm looking for a toddler's denim jacket. And the image on the right with the shop kids with the toddler wearing a denim hat, denim cap and a denim jacket is where I'd land. I'd know the price and I could order it. So I'm just showing you what the landing pages are. That's what's important in the next podcast that we go through clearly. You have the awareness and engagement, digital communities, importance of social media. But what I'm trying to get you to do is that sometimes people stumble on sites. I'm just as your first landing, I'm just trying to stack them up to let people understand that the biggest don't always do it well.
Okay. So I'm saying clean, simple, but not very...
It's not entertaining.
Entertaining.
Now, the shopper experience at this point is like, okay. Now, another big category, so another big box. This is a company called Temple & Webster. So they are homeware, giftware, officeware products, a whole range of stuff. Great. We've got some movement in there. 150,000 products, so it's ticking my box of a wide range and availability. So in the search box, beautiful search, over 150,000 products. Great.
They're very good at curating. I have actually bought from this site, and I do think, you know, you talk about curation as being an important part of retail. They're very good at curating their products.
They are very good. And they're also very good at their shipment terms. They're shipping large, bulky items that tend to arrive on time. There's a lot of good to be said about this company, don't get me wrong. But once again, yeah, these are, well, let's just look on the homepage. We've got...
So what I'm seeing is you scroll there, I'm seeing attractive photography.
Yeah.
But that little bit you went through, it looks like I'm looking at a sort of home magazine. That, you know, there's pretty quick navigation, office chairs, office desks, office storage, because obviously a lot of people are wanting that at this point in time. But then the next bit down there, you know, you've got these tiles that look like they're covers of magazines.
Yeah. And again, they're good. Don't get me wrong. What I'm trying to get this is this feeling that I'm in a retail store where there's theater, there's buzz, it's beautifully laid out. I am right now at the screen I'm looking at. I'm in a retail store and I'm the only person there. There's nobody else in the store. It's just me.
You feel lonely.
God, don't I just? Look at that.
So what we're not looking at is any people.
People. I mean, the one thing we're craving to go back to work for at the moment is to be with people. People, people, people. Faces, faces, faces. So we don't see it there. And I'm not going to go in and say, oh, we found one. We're landing on the page. You know, we're promiscuous. Our thumb's sliding over. Our cursor's sliding over things we will or won't stay. Now, I think they are great because the curation's amazing. I think the way they ship things is good. The range is amazing. They tick a lot of boxes. But, you know, here's something that as we move through it, I'm not excited yet.
No. And I'd say again, clean, but static.
Yeah. So I've now arrived on Toys R Us. So I've gone to Toys R Us. I've landed here. All the work we've done for years is here. So I've got people straight away interacting with the product in video, close-ups, children, grandparents, people together. I'm in a store now. I'm outside. I'm a grandparent. And so all I've got this movement. I've got something happening there, which continues on. Now, great. I'm offering free shipping. And, you know, we did free shipping for grandparents over $50 because grandparents can't be with their grandchildren. We've then got key items that are here. So we're using Lego Creator. We've got some free offers. So free Lego Bunny. We're not doing a lot of discounting, by the way. Look at this. We've got Jeffrey's Giant Treasure Trove, which has been running online, Instagram, Facebook, and the likes for about 10 days now. And against that, seeding social media. So not many people will come to this site. They'll go straight in, not on this landing page. They'll go straight in. Then look, all the movement, all the color, huge amounts. Now I want to do something else. So Zip and Afterpay, absolutely play now, pay later. You know, harness what's there. If it's costing you 6%, you better be using it. Then all the brands, look at all the colors. What I want to take you to though is, we're looking around here. I'm going to jump onto Barbie. Boom.
What's interesting is it looks like something kids can navigate too, though.
It does indeed. And it is meant to be that way too. So this is something that if you shop for Barbie on Amazon and eBay, you won't see this. So we land on a store within a store. All the color fields, 60-year-old Barbie, all the products. This is Barbie. So we're actually inside a store. We're not in Toys R Us now. We're in a Barbie shop. And there's Barbie. So we're going to go back from Barbie because we're actually going to go and look at Lego. And as we go into Lego, oh, we're in a Lego shop, in a Lego store. Here's the Lego store. And we've got the bricks cascading. And these These are, we call them end aisles in grocery and in major retails, that either side, the left and right. So in grocery stores and in department stores and in hardware stores, these end aisles are sold to suppliers to advertise their product, to create displays. So it is important, as we're online retailers, we build up an amazing following and eyeballs, that these have value, that we can sell to manufacturers who want to communicate to people on these pages.
Sorry, just clarify that for me. So are you saying that Lego, Paw Patrol, Barbie, those manufacturers are buying?
No, they're not. No, but as you end up, those manufacturers are working with Toys R Us to supply them with imagery and graphics to make sure that their brands are the best they can possibly be in the store. It happens to be an online store.
You've in effect built the department within your website, and that's how you're curating the products.
Absolutely. So here we're in Paw Patrol, and we're on a Paw Patrol site. So it isn't just the tiles.
For me, as the father of a seven-year-old, it is nice to just come to somewhere and know that all you're going to see is Paw Patrol. So you don't, you know, get distracted by the other 10,000 products they're trying to flog to you.
We're not trying to flog to you. We're trying to help you the process. And by the way...
I'm not talking about Toys R Us. I'm talking about the average website. When you try and find the product that your daughter has suddenly said she wants, and you get, you know, 17,000 other things before you can find the one you want, it is nice to see a neatly curated department where it is just Paw Patrol or Bluey or whatever it might be.
So that's shopper experience. So this isn't happenstance. We didn't stumble on this. This was by walking stores around the world, photographing the stores, videoing the stores, talking to shop assistants, talking to suppliers, talking to shoppers and saying, what do you want? And trying to recreate that as much as we could in the digital world. It isn't happenstance. It's not good luck. We didn't stumble on this. It's all the work to say, how do we make the shopper experience great? What you describe in the four frustrated sentences that came out of you before you said, and to find one place with Paw Patrol, is bad shopper experience. That's what it is. It's poor shopper experience. I want to tell people how bad it is. I'm not going to go back there. So you do everything in your power to do that. So if I then, rather than keep going forward, I'm going to go backwards. So if we look at the marketplaces do a very good job of stocking massive amounts, millions of products, and displaying them okay. The guys who are in the categories where they bring together lots of other people's products, the category killers, whether it be fashion or they be home hardware or they be giftware or they be whatever it may be, or toys, need to be clear that they are there to provide a great shopper experience. It's great navigation. It's easy. It's entertaining. I want to stay there. The less movement, the more static it is, the less color, the less that's going on, the less likely that people are going to dwell longer. Their dwell time will be lower, and they'll likely not spend as much money as they could. Now, I haven't gone into the great things we do with impulse zones and the way we offer up products and help you build baskets. I'm not doing that. I just want to get you this feeling of movement. It's the first time we've got to movement, we've got faces and people and moving. And importantly, isn't good luck. We've done this because we set out to do this. So I'm going to take you to HelloFresh. So again, it's a new concept, the idea that our food can be delivered to us in boxes that we then prepare. All the right ingredients are there. The interface is beautiful. It's easy. It's great. Save your discount. Discount you can save for later. That's good. Continue without shopping. There we go. So I'm now on the site. So again, beautiful, tasty food, easy to order down here. $40, 30, first box, second box.
Clean and bright, lots of space.
Now we've got some people.
We've got people.
And Eliza said, and Belinda said, and they're with their families, and they're happy to be photographed, and they've given the reviews through Trustpilot. We're seeing people interacting with food.
Trustpilot. How important is that sort of thing?
Huge. So that goes back to the service. So don't let me tell you how good I am. Let people who shop me tell you how good I am.
Okay.
That's what Trustpilot does. And if you've got high ratings on Trustpilot or whatever the review, there are many review tools, but if they're high, basically people who've engaged with the product, would engage with the whole of the service end to end, love it, and they're telling you so. So we've got people, we've got close-up shops, appetizing product, fresh product. Coming down, we've now onto the packaging. For me, packaging is one of the great things that HelloFresh does. We've seen Amazon. Anytime that you walk around the United States or, you know, any major city in the world, you'll see Amazon boxes and cartons arriving in office. You did see them arriving in office lobbies and at people's homes. The more design you put in the packaging, the more connectivity, communication, connection you have with your shoppers. So that packaging is going inside somebody's home. It's the most tangible thing other than the thing that's inside it they're going to get. It's great for messaging. It tells you your values. Now, this doesn't do justice to HelloFresh's current packaging. Their new packaging explains their values in three colors. It explains how recyclable the packaging is. It's just a beautiful way of connecting. So packaging is crucial. Here's a classic one. These are the favorite recipes for a particular town or a particular place. Well, now we're going to what I think is a cool one. So we land on this site and I don't know, listeners, where you are.
Okay. So what we're seeing here, we've gone to a little site called OB5 Skateboards, and we've got skateboarders skateboarding as the first thing we see and pretty much only thing we see other than another pop-up for 10% off your next order. Just get rid of the pop-up, Kevin.
No, I'm not going tonight. This is a site that I love because it's so simple and it punches way above its weight. So listeners, what we're looking at is we're looking at surfers, skaters, that I know for a fact this video has been shot with teenagers who are friends of the family and part of the family on Queensland's Gold Coast. So beautiful crystal clear water, sunny days, skateboard bowls, skate parks, you know, great young people enjoying the outdoors. And this is where I land. Already I'm happy. I'm not in a store. It's even better than a store. I'm out in the open using the product. This is lifestyle. This is everything together. And the great thing about this guy, the background of Chris was a sales director in a major retail business selling skateboards and surf gear. And the business closed up. They let him go. He knew skateboards. He knew surfboards. So he set up this site in a warehouse, first of all with his own site and then a Shopify site. So the reasons I said, Nigel, I'm not going to take that down was originally when this came up, you couldn't get rid of it. Now you can.
Oh, okay.
So I saw Chris. I walked in and said, Chris, we've got to let that go. And he goes, who are you? I said, my name's Kevin Moore. I do this for a living. I'm buying a skateboard for my grandson, which was a beautiful skateboard. I know them very quick. I know that. I've never broken a bone in my body. On one of Chris's OB5 boards, I managed to fracture my elbow. I now have OB5 elbow pads. But this is great. So curbside pickup, click and collect, skateboard accessories, afterpay available. He's getting this right. This guy was not an online retailer until a couple of years ago. He's done it because he's got to feed his family and he's doing a fantastic job of it. So this is for anybody who goes on the website, have a look at this. This is what you can do. This is how easy it is. What can be achieved by normal people just working hard, understanding retail, setting up their online businesses.
So it's really interesting because, as you say, there is no product. In what I can see above the line there, there is no product at all. I've got to go and hunt the product.
And now
I'm already engaged with them because they've made it look great.
Absolutely. I've just jumped on skateboards, cruisers, longboards, surf skates, girls' gift guide, guys' gift guide. So the thought's gone into it to say, we know that some of these items are given, like example for grandchildren, are bought for other people, not for your use. We're going to help them through it. By the way, the product's stunning. I mean, the designs are outstanding. They sell out all the time and they tell you it's sold out. And it does sell out because it's so damn good. Beautiful product. And what's happened is the range has widened, expanded. So vertical skateboard storage racks. Chris doesn't make them, he sources them. OB5 branded protective pack for your knees, elbows and hands. Just a really clean and beautifully done site. And the product is cool. We can go through the product, plasma drop through 38 inch, Canadian maple veneers. This for me is curation. You know, he's gone out and he's some of these are designed by them. Some of them are sourced and they're designed by factories and sold under different brands. The colorways are different, but this is beautiful and the detail of it. So I think this is a great one. So having been through that journey, we've been from some of the biggest in the world to a tiny one, and it's doing well. The business just keeps on growing. It's easy to use. I've bought it a number of times. I stumbled on it. I just think it's a brilliant business. This is the type of thing that a normal person who understands retail, you have to be a Jeff Bezos. You're not trying to be the biggest online retailer on the planet. All you're trying to do is feed your family in retail. Back in the day, you'd get yourself a retail lease. You'd get a shop from a landlord. Now you don't. Go and rent yourself a warehouse because you're going to pick, pack, and dispatch. You need to bring in the containers, break them down into pallets, break them down into outers, then pick from the outers into singles to send to people's homes. And you can have a great business doing this. So this for me is what I come back to time and time again. This is doable. It gives people confidence that this can be done.
So just to clarify, is this purely an online play, or do they have a little retail outlet as well?
No, they've got no retail outlet. You can sell curbside pickup, so you can actually pick up from the warehouse. But this business started wholesaling into retailers. The retailers were declining. Chris accelerated his online business. The social media work that's been done on this brand, the Facebook stuff is cool. It's just good. It's just wholesome, you know, surf skate culture, wholesome surf skate culture stuff. So it's clean beaches, sunny skies. It's done so well that we now have physical retailers advertising the brand for their stores, and they don't stock it. So they're using it as bait advertising to bring people into their stores. They don't stock it.
And is this still a Shopify site, or has it moved on?
No, Shopify site.
Wow. Okay. So this is all doable for anybody today. And again, we're not plugging Shopify particularly, but just the fact that you can create a nice looking website yourself.
Yep.
Without being technically competent.
The infrastructure's there. That's the point there. So the payment facilities, your merchant facilities are easy to connect. The catalog pages are easy to put together. The navigation is acceptable. It's good navigation. It's not rock star navigation. It's just good. It's functional. This is the first store you're opening. When you get to the point where you're doing, you know, you got a great problem because you're moving $1 million a month worth of product, cool. You know, if you want some AI to serve up and have voice interaction with your shoppers, great. But as I say, most people don't do that. What they do is they're forced to go into online retail because it's hard to get a job, or nobody wants to buy their product, so they go direct to the shopper.
So there are sites I go to for, you know, buying computer gear or hard drives or whatever that are purely a catalog. They have no personality, no presence. It is all about price and product. Mm. Is that a problem?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that makes you an average retailer. What it means is that you are not thinking about your shoppers. You're not trying to give them a great shopper experience. You are literally just a catalog. There's no emotion. You can do things, but you tend not to be able to grow your volumes. You tend not to be able to engage. You tend not to get people coming back to you as often as they can. If they can get a better experience somewhere, they'll have that experience. They'll enjoy that experience and go back there. Over the next few years, shopping in a retail store isn't going to be a huge pleasure. We're going to be talking to shop assistants behind plexiglass and plastic. We're going to be queuing up outside before we can get in. There'll be only a certain number of us allowed in each aisle. It's not going to be a heap of fun. So if you've got an online store, make it fun. Make it entertaining. Show video. Show feedback. Get people to upload shots of them using your product in different places, out in the open, out in sunshine, out in the parks, out in wherever it is, out in the snow, wherever it is. But you know, bring it alive. Make it a place that people want to come to.
Excellent. So, Kevin, can you just quickly sum up what your main points have been today?
Yeah. In its simplest and largest form, we have just been able to look at 2 million items across 7 websites in one country. In there, we've had massive sites with 1 million products down to some that have only got a couple of hundred. They're all at the same place, they're at the end of a cursor, they're at the end of my thumb on my phone. They're all doing a pretty good job because they're all trading well. Some are doing bits better than others. But it was to show this, the broadest range of the biggest to the smallest, and how you can be the smallest and still have a great site. You can provide a better shopper experience than the biggest players. You may not have as much volume as they have, but you have a better shopper experience. If you think about it, it's doable. I want to give you the confidence to be able to do this. Now, people are going to listen to this, and some people are going to say, I've got to get a job. I'm not getting a job. I'm going to do this. I'm going to borrow some money. I've got some money left in the house. I'm going to do this. I'm going to set myself up.
So the only other thing I'd say here, though, is on your list of things that you regularly say, a lot of online shopping is about awareness and engagement. And I can see from OB5, the engagement is great. But how does a small business like that create awareness?
So we haven't done that. I've come to these sites because I know about these sites. I was made aware of them, and I've engaged with them. Don't confuse a beautiful landing page with awareness and engagement. It's the last part of the engagement before you get them into the site and start to give them a great shopper experience. The awareness engagement out in social land, YouTube, Insta, Facebook, everything that we're going to go through later on is about the awareness and engagement. This isn't the awareness engagement. They've become aware and they've engaged before they get to this point.
Okay. Well, in fact, that then takes us on to next week.
That's a bit of luck. That's a bit of luck, Nigel.
Now, the next two episodes coming up are all about raising awareness. As we were just discussing, it's all well and good having a great looking and functional website, but that's only part of the online retail jigsaw puzzle. One of the most vital aspects to master is raising awareness of your offering. And to help us with that, we're calling on a digital marketing friend of mine, Miranda Bond. Miranda is a serial entrepreneur who helps a number of her clients with their digital marketing strategies and also applies those strategies to her own online retail business, PumaYana.com. Over the next two episodes, you'll learn about five critical components that Miranda believes you have to have working in harmony in order to optimize awareness of your online retail business. Don't miss these episodes. The content is absolute gold. And talking of golden content, you might also be interested in our new online retail course, where Kevin shares his real-world experiences and insights and provides practical tips to help you improve the experience of your online shoppers. Go to our website, theroadtoretail.com. That's theroadtoretail.com. On the website, you can find out more about the course and how you can tap into Kevin's expertise to help you build your business. And just to remind you, there is a video version of this episode on theroadtoretail.com. As well as allowing you to see the websites we've been reviewing today, the video version also includes closed captions to help anyone who is hard of hearing or just struggling with our accents. Well, Kevin's at least. On the same page, you'll also find a full transcription so you can remind yourselves of the key points we've covered. Until next time, thank you for listening. But, as always, before we go, Kevin, what musical treat do you and the band have for us this week?
Well, this is a very different song. This is a beautiful song to take you away from your homes and out into the wild oceans. This is a song called Cutty Sark, which is about the famous three-mast sailing ship that used to sail the oceans. And it was written by Bob. Bob actually sailed on a three-mast ship. He's done some amazing things in his life. And some beautiful work there with lyrics by Bob, a melody by John, bass by Kevin, and with a help from some seagulls.
Oh, looking forward to it. Off you go.
Off you go, guys.
She lies waiting at the quay. Her boss reach to the sky, taking coal and bringing tea, next port of call, Shanghai. I came upon the Cutty Sark. She's waiting for a crew. I take my chance for rum and coin. I've nothing else to do. Haul away, me hearties, haul away. Through the rolling waves and flying spray. This is how we spend our days, with a tot of rum and not much pay. Haul away, me hearties, haul away. I am just a poor sailor boy, with nothing to my name. A wife, no kids, no place to live. Crewing ships is my game. Sign me on the foremast watch. Left on the rising tide, with a nor'east wind behind us, farewell to the green countryside. Haul away, me hearties, haul away. Through the rolling waves and flying spray. This is how we spend our days, with a tot of rum and not much pay. Haul away, me hearties, haul away. She skims across the water like an albatross in flight. The crew fights with her sails through the day and night. Haul away, me hearties, haul away. Through the rolling waves and flying spray. This is how we spend our days, with a tot of rum and not much pay. Haul away, me hearties, haul away.
Haul away, me hearties, haul away.
Haul away.